So in today's episode, we are going to do something a little different. You're going to listen to a recording of a live event we did just a few weeks ago. The event was called Generations. It was put on by our sponsoring organization, which is called Never the Same. I would encourage you, if you want to know more about what we're doing in our ministry and our organization, visit neverthesame.org, and you'll find out more about things we're doing, like NTS Camp and Claim Your Campus, and impacting thousands of students across the country. This particular episode is the talk that I gave, and for the first time in public, shared our vision, our mission. Now, we've existed as an organization for 7 years, but it's taken us a while to really clarify, and you'll hear why when you listen to this episode. And we debated on sharing this, but we decided to share it just because many of you are familiar and are connected to what we're doing in our organization through our ministries. And some of you are, many of you are brand new listeners and just becoming familiar. So don't think of this as a shameless plug, as more of just an informational piece. If you've begun listening to us, as thousands of you have, and you don't really know much about who we are, this will give you a great background to what we're doing and what we're about. And I would just encourage you that if nothing else, as you hear this, just be reminded of the miracles that God can do as we follow and obey Him. It was back in 2009 when I left job at a prominent church where I live in Grand Rapids, Michigan, to start this organization, and it's been a joy and an adventure to see what God has done. So I hope that you're encouraged as you listen to this talk today.
We launched this ministry on November 1st of 2009, and a lot has changed in those 7 years. When I first started, I looked a little bit different. I got a haircut in the meantime. I used to have longer hair, and everywhere I would travel, I just got tired of people asking me, "Hey, are you Phil Joel?" I was like, "No, I'm not. I'm not Phil Joel. I'm the winner of season 3 American Idol. That's who I am." And in the last 7 years, we're here tonight to celebrate. We're here to talk about what God's done. We're not here to talk about me or our amazing team, but we're here to really celebrate God. And I want to start by just saying thank you for being here on behalf of myself, my wife Arianna, our team. We're just grateful and humbled. You spent resources and time, which are very valuable things, especially this time of year. There's a lot going on. So I want to say thank you. We're just honored that you would spend this time with us to hear what we're doing in our story. And what I want to do tonight is just share with you 3 basic things. I want to talk a little bit about the past, the present, where we are, and then I'm excited to talk a little bit about the future and where I feel like God's leading us. So it started back in 2009. It was pretty simple. It was me. Our board of directors kind of sent me off to do this work. I felt called to do it. So I had a homemade desk, a gifted chair, a gifted laptop, and a borrowed office. And that's where it started. And God and I made a financial agreement when we began. And I felt like God specifically said to me, very clearly, I remember the moment and where I was standing and everything, and I felt like God said, "Don't be a fundraiser." And I said, "Well, no problem there, because I don't really want to be a fundraiser." But the problem was I'd already quit my job, and I was already starting to do this, and so how's this going to work out? So I just jumped in and just wanted to see what God was willing to do and trust Him. And before long, we kind of came across this idea to do something you may have heard of called the Grand Rapids Mud Run in 2010. And 2010, everybody's like, "What's a mud run?" Nobody knew what it was. We were the first one in the Midwest. We were the first one in Michigan. And through literal blood, sweat, and tears. And there's some people here in this room that were a part of that, those early days, and I'm grateful for them. But we saw miracles begin to happen, and God's provision began to pour in. And since we made that agreement, we've built this organization as a national nonprofit youth ministry to where 90% of our operating budget is what we've generated through revenue. And we've been 10% donor-based pretty much since we started. And that's a testament to God's provision for us. Because then our camps began to grow and multiply without really even trying. And what Darren didn't, I don't think, say was that we have a special connection because Darren was the one that started NTS Camp with me together. It was actually his idea. And I'm grateful for that. And so this began to grow and we began to experience this momentum. And Then we began to add these incredible people on our team, which are here tonight. And I want to briefly introduce them: my wife, Arianna, Robin Johns, Julie Carroll, who helps us so much, Jason Brewer, Kyle Wood, Ryan Hum. World-class people that are the best at what they do, and I'm honored to work with them on a regular basis because they all do incredible work. We've got a great board of directors. You met Mike DeVries and Darren, and Phil Breckeisen's here as well, and Dave Dreyer. Some great people that God's brought together to see this mission and organization go forward. And so as we began to experience this momentum, so many great things were happening. And some of you know the story, but in the summer of 2015, 3 days before we were leaving for our first camp that summer, someone broke into our office in the middle of the night and set it on fire. And we lost almost everything. And it was quite a setback for us, as you can imagine. We're just getting geared up for camp. We're getting all ready. But again, through a series of miracles that God did, he showed us his provision. That was a particular tough time for our staff because not only did we go through that, but some of our staff team lost family members to death. And it was a really trying time for us. But what I saw is I saw God bring us together and bond us together and take us through those really adverse times to move to where we are now, to this amazing facility. And some of you have been there on 29th Street. And God used that to bring us to a new place, not just in a building, but in a new season, and we've been able to enjoy this really great creative workspace that aids us so much in what we're trying to do. And so we made that move, and we've been excited about what God's done in the meantime. I'm going to tell you a little bit more, but we launched our app for Claim Your Campus, which is mobilizing students. We launched a Bible engagement initiative that was reaching thousands across the country, and we just this year, we're a formative partner as an organization to launch a national thing called Pray for School Sunday, where we are calling churches throughout the United States on the third Sunday of September to pray for schools. And so all of these great things have happened, and that brings us to today. And as we are celebrating these 7 years, we feel like we've finally figured out, we're a little slow, I guess, it's probably me, but we finally figured out and are able to articulate who we are. Our vision, our mission, our purpose. And we've taken strategically 2 years to really try to think this through and articulate who we are. And I want to share that with you. Our vision is new generations of students transformed in Christ to further the kingdom of God. That's what we're about. That's who we are. Our vision as we look down the road is we want to see new generations of students experiencing the transforming power of Jesus Christ in their life. And we know that will grow the kingdom of God, and that work is so important. And our mission is to cultivate those lives of those students using biblical discipleship, spiritual disciplines. And we want to use things like theology, community, technology, ways that we can achieve that vision through these different components. And I want to talk about that just for a minute because they're important to us. And theology is really where it starts. Theology is this belief and understanding and idea about God. Now, I was raised, and I was very blessed, my brothers here, by wonderful Christian parents. My dad was, by vocation, he was a high school teacher, and he was a pastor. And I was raised with a strong belief in God. But I have to tell you, even so, I don't know where it happened, but somewhere some bad theology, some bad beliefs about God got in there. Some things that weren't true to the Word of God, to Scripture. And that's taken time to undo. And if any of you can relate to that, sometimes it can take a lifetime to undo bad theology and bad beliefs and misunderstandings about who God is. So we want to start with God. We want to start with who he is. When we approach students, we don't want to come at them and say, we want to tell you who you are and your identity first. We want to go to them and say, we want to tell you about this God that's so crazy about you, that loves you. So we start with theology and belief, and that takes us to do things that maybe are a little bit different than most that do the work that we do, like teaching the Nicene Creed, a document that's centuries old, singing old songs like the doxology. And I hope that you got a chance, if you haven't, to see our exhibits where we showcase some of the things that we're doing with students, teaching them the practices of prayer and inductive Bible study and these things that are so important, because important theology in our culture today is more important than it's ever been. And we feel like that's an important work for us, and we start there. Community is the next thing that's important. Community is something that leads us in our belief that the local church really is the foundation of everything when it comes to the kingdom of God. And we want to not be disassociated or disconnected. We want to connect with the local church, and we want to see students in everything that we do. We build in mechanisms so that they're surrounded with a structure and a system and multi-generational relationships that can encourage and support them in their faith decision to follow Christ. So community is important, and students need that today, again, more than they ever have, good community. And then technology, right? We have more technology in our pockets now than what existed, you know, in big, huge rooms of this size 30, 40 years ago, right? And students live in that world. They're digital natives. That's the world in which they've grown up. That's all they know, and that's who they are. And we don't want to say, well, we don't, you know, we want to get away from that. Our desire is to use that as a powerful tool to develop and to use and to redeem, to bring these students to God and the gospel and his love. And so we do that through things like our social media, our web presence, and we do that through our mobile platform, which we'll talk about. We do it through things like a new podcast that we started called Thought Factory just actually a few weeks ago. Now, if you like Phil and you think he's a really cool guy like I do, just last week we had him as a guest on our podcast. And so if you're a podcast listener, I would encourage you to check that out. As we dive into the beliefs of students and what we can do to kind of help them as parents and as youth workers. So if you're a parent here, this might be something you're interested in, and obviously if you're a youth worker as well. So we try to use these different pieces to really bring that together to use technology as a powerful tool in the lives of students. Now, NTS Camp has been a part of who we've been from the beginning, and it was Darren and myself sometime in 1999 began to have this conversation. And on July 23rd of 2000, we held our first NTS Camp. And since then, what God has done to see it grow. And tonight, I want to share with you, I know it's a lot, I want to just give you information because I want you to know what we're about. This is, for many of you, you may be a little bit familiar, unfamiliar, but I just want you to catch the vision of why we do what we do, because we believe it's so important and we believe it's strategic. So just here in a moment, we're gonna show you a video that we produce that will articulate way better than I can what NTS Camp is about. And then after that video is over, you're going to be really blessed when you hear this young lady, Ashley, come up and share her story about her connection to NTS.
So my name is Ashley Hendrick, and this is going to be my story. So I've actually had the unique opportunity to attend NTS Camp as both a student and an adult leader. So that's been just incredibly awesome to kind of get the feel of both different sides. Probably the biggest year for me going into camp was actually leading into my junior year of high school. And if you don't know my family, we're a very big tennis family, so that's kind of all we do. And it was that year I was getting ready to play the number one position on my varsity tennis team, but I began experiencing like pain in my leg. But I went to camp that year and was really struggling with like my identity. I'd kind of been found in my sports and tennis and just who I was as an athlete. And so it was at camp that summer that I was just very challenged to kind of find my identity in Christ. And I actually rededicated my life to Christ that year at camp. And what I didn't realize at the time was that year at camp was setting me up for what was going to be the hardest year of my life. Because just a few weeks after camp, on August 23rd of 2003, I was diagnosed with osteosarcoma, which is a form of bone cancer. So I went through about 9 months of treatment. And it was, like I said, it was the hardest year of my life. But my youth pastor at the time, who actually was transitioning into our head pastor at our church, just played an incredible role of walking me through just this really dark time in my life. And there were some really dark days that I had to experience. And kind of the cool thing about that is that my treatment lasted from August until May. So I was actually able to come back to NTS camp the following year. And it was just cool, kind of like an awesome ending to this, like, horrible year that I had gone through. Just kind of an awesome way to, like, celebrate what God had brought me through that year. And like I said, my youth pastor played just this incredible role in my life that I realized that I wanted to play that role in students' lives. And so immediately upon graduating high school, I joined our church's youth ministry, where I've now been a leader for, it's been 8 or 9 years now that I've been a youth group leader. And one thing that I love about NTS Camp is that they are so big on small groups. I love when we finish our evening sessions, they'll say, you know, we have activities planned for you, but if your small group goes along, like that's where God is working, and you need to stay with your students and help them work through what God is speaking to them about. And so I've had the awesome opportunity throughout my time at NTS camp as a leader to lead two different students, but be with them when they chose to make that decision for Christ, when they chose to accept Christ into their life. And one of them came in as a professing atheist, and we didn't even know her until that week at camp, but it was awesome just to see God breaking down the walls that she had built up. She really had this tough girl exterior, but God just really broke her down that week, and she realized just her awesome need for God that week. And I also was able to sit with another student who felt called into full-time ministry. And the student is now at Moody Bible College studying to be a missionary in another country. So what I just said, I love NTS camp. I can't say that enough. I'm just in love with this camp, and I'm in love with the people and just the heart that they have for students. And so I just want to thank you all tonight for being here, for investing your time and your resources into this ministry and into our students, because it is truly making an impact in their lives for eternity. Thank you.
And the stories really are endless. There's so many we could tell. And I love hearing about Guy, too. He's such a dear friend of ours. And to know that, I think the thing about NTS that sticks out to me, and I think the way that it's really set apart in so many ways is the staying power of these decisions that are made at camp. I know sometimes we look at videos and we hear about camps and we think, well, that's great and it's a nice emotional thing, but it doesn't last. And I'm here to say, we've got a 17-year track record with this camp, and the stories go all the way back to the beginning of how God is changing lives. Just looking at some numbers from this summer, you're going to see on the screen, these represent changed lives of students that experience something. And, you know, this is why we do what we do. Students that are receiving Christ for the first time. Now, our camp has grown to be all over the country. Next year, we'll have 8 weeks of camp throughout the summer. And we see God continue to multiply what's happening. But this is why we do it. We do it for Guy. We do it for Ashley. We do it for all these students so that they can experience something unique that God wants to do in their life. And they can be connected and surrounded by people that love them to process these amazing things that God's doing in their lives. So we see leadership developing here. You know, one of the numbers that sticks out to me is students feeling a call to career and ministry. I was speaking at a college recently, and the college student body is completely made up of young people studying for vocational ministry as their career. And I asked the student body when I was speaking in front of them, I said, how many of your call to this direction in your life was linked to a camp or retreat experience, and 80% of them raised their hands. So pastors, missionaries, leaders, God is speaking. We're excited about that. And Claim Your Campus is another big part of what we do. And Claim Your Campus, if you don't know what that is, it's students praying at schools. It's calling students to do something very simple. And for some of them, it's bold. But it's meeting once a week with a group of friends on their school campus, led by themselves, to pray for change at that school. And my eyes were open years ago as students, we called them to pray as a youth pastor here in the area at Kentwood Community Church, and we started this thing in 2003 where we did prayer walks. And the prayer walk that I took students on was at Byron Center High School, and I took students to pray around that campus. And after we did that a couple years, students came up to me and said, hey, we want to do this more. How can we pray more, not just once a year before school? You know, can we do that? And as a good youth pastor looked at them and said, absolutely not. We're not going to pray more. There's enough of that. I said, absolutely, let's figure this out. And we started weekly prayer groups. And the group that I began to meet with every Tuesday morning of 8 students was at East Kentwood High School, right here in the area. And they began to pray strategically for the issue of fighting and violence. And within a matter of a few months, my senior pastor at the time, many of you know, Wayne Schmidt, shared with our church staff, not knowing what we were doing, and said, the school board of Kentwood Public Schools reports at the high school in their quarterly report that there's no more fighting happening in East Kentwood High School. Nobody can figure out why. And that began a dangerous question in my mind, because the question was this: what if God could change the culture of every school in America through the power of prayer? Now just let that sink in for a minute. What our country would look like if that could happen 67,000 times over with students. And so Claim Your Campus is this strategic way that we go about equipping and mobilizing students. And again, I want you to see visually how this works so that you can understand the model and the vision of Claim Your Campus. Let that soak in, what that could do in the times in which we're in. We're in a spiritual crisis as a nation, as a culture, and we've got to do something about it. And that's why we're all doing this on the team, because we want to be a part of the solution of what God wants to do. You know, every campus and every prayer represents a changed life. And last summer at NTS camp, we were promoting Claim Your Campus at all of our events across the country. And a student came up and wrote some words that really took us by surprise. And you're going to see that here on the screen. And this was not recreated. This was not staged for tonight. This was caught in real time as this student wrote these words that intrigued us. She wrote these words, CYC, Claim Your Campus, saved me. And we had to know, we had to find out the story. And so we found the story, and we contacted the student, and we wanted to know, what does that mean? What's being expressed? And for reasons that will become clear, the student is, even though we know who she is, she's going to be anonymous, but I want you to hear her words about her experience with Claim Your Campus, and here's what she had to say. She said, I entered my freshman year of high school, and I was introduced to a foreign exchange student who I decided to become friends with, and one day he called me over, and he was standing in an old hallway. He was my friend, so I went over to him, and he attempted to rape me and almost succeeded. This is at a public high school. And she says, but even though I wasn't raped, I still felt used, defeated, dirty, frightened, and terrified that someone would think it was okay to do that and strip away someone's self-worth. And after that, high school went on, and I was quieter than before, and I kept to myself, and I didn't tell anyone what happened. That's when this guy and everyone liked came along and told me about a group called Claim Your Campus. This kid was pumped about it. We get together in the mornings before school and pray. Getting to my school early to pray, I could be sleeping in at that time, but for some unknown reason, I decided to go anyway. Right away, I could see the change. Everywhere I looked and everywhere I went, I could see change, even in me. I started to understand and feel God's love and his unfathomable power. I even got saved, but for real this time. I became on fire for God, and it was amazing. Every time I think about CYC, I find myself at a loss for words because it saved me. It led me to God. It led me to peace. And although it took me a while to let go of what happened, and I was able to, I think through that, my confidence grew, and I saw that I was a precious child of God. I wasn't a dirty rag setting aside in a bucket. I was washed and clean, pure. Jesus helped me see that. Sometimes I think to myself, what if Claim Your Campus wasn't there? Where would I be? It honestly changed my life. And those are the stories. It's not just campuses that are changing. It's students' lives that are being rescued because other students are praying for them. And we're hearing this. And this movement has grown. We're in 44 states. And our mobile app is being used in at least that we know of right now, about 800 schools. We've seen God open so many doors. We've been in front of 500,000 people to talk about Claim Your Campus in our first 7 years. We're excited about all the things we're doing through technology, through the investment in the mobile app and our website. In the last 2 years alone, we've invested as an organization about $100,000 in technology because we know it's important to reach students and to help youth workers connect students to this important movement that needs to happen. So that's where we are, and we're excited about that. And as I look back in the last 7 years, I would say this, that we've been a reactive organization. What I mean by that is we've responded. As a staff, we pray and God's opened doors, and I look at it and I say, we've prayed and God's responded and given us so much and so many opportunities in 7 years. But this event that you're at tonight is important for us because it signals what we feel like is a turning point for this organization. Because I believe that God wants us to be way more proactive in our approach and to accelerate towards the vision that he has for us. And now I believe that as we've prayed, God has revealed where we need to go next. And I'm excited to share that with you because honestly, It's going to take resources. And part of turning that corner is inviting people like yourselves that God might be leading to invest financially in what we're doing, because we're at a point now where we are no longer able to take on any more opportunities because we're limited with where we are financially. And we believe God wants to change that, and we want you to consider being a part of that with us. Now, as we look to the future, there's a couple things I want to point out. As we think about what's down the road for us, there's a couple things here. We're thinking about Claim Your Campus on a global scale. We get asked a lot by people, when are you going to bring Claim Your Campus to us? We heard from Australia recently, when can Claim Your Campus be in Australia? We heard from Canada. I talked with someone in Canada, and I'm like, well, Canada would be easy for 6 months because there's nothing to do but pray and go to Tim Hortons. Sorry, Darren, but so that's an easy one, but Australia might be a little tougher, but we want to respond to that. And we want to do some other things. We want to launch an online training academy for youth workers. We want to invest in something called Soul Exercises, Bible engagement, which is so near and dear to our heart. And I hope that you take the time before you leave to go out and learn about that, because we have a system. One of the things that we lost in our fire is we lost $50,000 in inventory from that fire that was not covered by insurance that we lost in our Bible engagement movement that was creating revenue for us, and we have yet to recover that. We want to bring Bible engagement to youth ministry. We want to bring it to at a place where we change the way youth ministries approach the Bible with their students, because, again, it's so important. Nothing changes lives on a daily basis like the power of God's Word in Scripture. So we want to do that. And I want to tell you about one more thing I'm excited about. And you saw that date up on the screen, July 4, 2020. What's that all about? Well, one of the things that we're looking into investing in is on that day, calling students from every school that will make it and having students represented from every school in America and gathering together in the middle in Kansas City for one day where we can mobilize prayer and the gospel through students in campuses across America. We're excited about that possibility as we look on the horizon. And so that's why events like tonight are important, because it allows us to pursue those opportunities and accelerate towards what we believe and where we believe that God's leading us. So maybe you might be led to be a part of some of these things that we're doing. You know, as we think about that, there's a passage of Scripture that has really been speaking to me lately. And the psalmist in Psalm 145, he says, "One generation commends your works to another, and they tell of your mighty acts." To me, that's a statement that says that me and all of us here as a generation are responsible to pass on the good news about Jesus and what he can do. And I want you to think about in your life who told you the good news. Maybe a friend or a family member. Where would you be if they didn't tell you? And generations as an event, and us as a ministry, that's what we're about, passing on the faith of one generation to another. And that is very real in my life. I grew up, and my dad, who's no longer alive, he was born in 1928. That was a long time ago. He was raised during the Great Depression. I want to show you a picture of my grandparents. And one of my daughters said, all one of them needs is a pitchfork. It looks just like that picture. And this is my grandma. I never met her or my grandfather. They were gone before I was born. But let me tell you, my grandma has the perfect grandma name, and this is true. Her name was Myrtle. Myrtle Eckert. And one day, Myrtle, when my dad was a kid, during those depression years, was listening to the radio, and she heard an appeal from a preacher on the radio. And she felt so compelled that she went into their grocery jar and took a whole day's wages of her husband, my grandpa, a dollar, and she sent it in to this preacher named Mordecai Ham. And I don't know if she was ever aware, but later on, Mordecai Ham led a guy to Christ, a young man named Billy Graham. And then when I was 9 years old, I went to a Billy Graham event and gave my life to Christ. And I know she wasn't around on this earth to see that. But her giving and her sacrifice made a difference for me. 2 months ago, I got a phone call and I was asked, "Will you be on the executive board for the National Day of Prayer?" Which is amazing for our organization to represent students in that forum. And it's led by none other than Ann Graham Lotz, Billy Graham's daughter, as that circle continues to be drawn and to be completed. I lost my mother recently, and my wife, I'm so glad she snapped this candid moment that you're going to see on the screen, and I haven't shared this publicly on social media because it's so dear to me, but it captures, I believe, what we're talking about tonight and who I am and who we are as an organization. This is a few hours before my mother passed, and you'll see her lying there in the bed in her room, and you'll see me kneeling down next to her, and you'll see my oldest daughter representing another generation standing behind me. And I want you to notice the posture of this picture. You've got one generation that's ready to rest, and she was faithful with her life. You've got one generation kneeling, and you've got one generation watching and waiting for their turn. And my ask for you tonight is to join me and be in the middle, and to be a person that's willing to transmit the gospel from our generation to the next. And I don't mean to be overdramatic here, but I think many of you might agree with me when I say this, and I'm going to reiterate what I said earlier. We're in a spiritual crisis point in America, and we've got to make sure, as much as we can do, that we rally support to get the good news of the gospel to these young minds and lives of students. So I hope when it comes time for that, you consider giving. And I'm going to ask Hosanna to come up, and she's been a great blessing to us, and she's going to share a little bit of her story in the spoken word. And I know I've heard this, and I'm very blessed by it.
I want to be a tsunami. Sweep the shore by storm, by force, in a good way, of course, because ladies and gentlemen, I want to change the world. Come high like the king tide, no land too wide to make this force of nature subside. So watch me as my strength collides into this lost, cold world that needs me. I will use a generation that feeds these, all of these starving people. I will save all people all over the world. Be on every TV, YouTube stream. You'll make t-shirts about me and all my deep philosophical quotes, one of them being, look out for that tsunami. Unfortunately, this intro has been brought to you by real people who really said these things, really feel these things, and really have big, selfish, prideful dreams that all these things will really happen. So you'd be surprised how normal it is to want to change the world, save the world for Christ, give up your whole life, use as many terms that only Christians understand as possible, so it's evident day and night that you are a Bible geek, Jesus freak. So look out, world, because you are sold out for Christ. But I want to tell you a story. There once was a man. He preached on the streets of San Francisco for over 30 years. His family lived in fear, but they kept pressing onward. He was assaulted and shot at, but never stopped preaching the gospel. But this story is not about him. Still, let me tell you more about him. This man led hundreds and thousands of homeless men and women to the Lord day in and day out. He'd pray over someone, and 10 years later, they'd come back. A deacon in the church, an owner of a woman's home, a father, a mother, a renewed soul. He's led more people to Christ than we will ever know. But this story is not about him. Still, let me tell you more about him. The homeless all loved him. The beggars all knew him. And when outsiders would attack him, his homeless friends would protect him, defend him. But remember, this story is not about him. And I won't even tell you his name because the whole city of San Francisco already knows him. But what they don't know is another name. This name. Her name was Mrs. Lee. The wife of a dentist who practiced in Twin Peaks. And one day, she was doing her chores, heard a knock at her door, and went to answer. And there was a young boy standing there asking if he could sell her a vacuum cleaner. And she bought it and invited him in. She asked him about his life and found that this boy had been a drug addict for 15 years, gangbanger, thief, and pimp, disrespected his mother, disrespected all his girlfriends. This man was the worst of the worst. There were people on the streets who were out to kill him. But that day, in that apartment, she asked him if he wanted to change his life. And with a simple prayer and a salesman on one knee, he dedicated his life to Christ. And Mrs. Lee didn't know that 5 years later, he'd be the man leading hundreds of homeless to Christ. And Mrs. Lee didn't know that 40 years after that, I'd be telling you about the day she saved my father's life. See, I don't know if Mrs. Lee ever led someone to the Lord before that time. And I don't know if she ever did after that. But I know she opened the door for this one man, this one time. And maybe God only asked of her that. And I know for every time my father received a crown for leading someone to God, she in turn was receiving one too. Because everyone wants to be the next Billy Graham. But someone had to preach to Billy Graham too. Not all of us are going to run conventions. Not all of us are going to lead people to Christ by the thousands, but I wouldn't be here if it weren't for Mrs. Lee. She is one of the most powerful people that's ever walked this earth to me because she saw potential where no one else did. Let a stranger into her house, a no good for nothing kid. And up until this point, no one has ever heard the powerful story of Mrs. Lee, but if I could aspire to be one person, she'd be the one person I'd want to be. God, with all my heart, let my prayer be. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I don't care how close and I don't care how far. I'll do whatever you want me to do. I'll do whatever, no matter how small. I don't need to be a tsunami. Let me be a raindrop that falls unnoticeably in this vastly large ocean that causes a ripple, that causes another, until it's just like a collection of circles that perhaps causes a wave to brush against the ankle of a small boy playing on the shore, asking God that he would send a wave and tickle between his toes once more. I don't need to be that wave. I will be a raindrop because God, it's you who makes the rain. God, it's you who sends the rain. And God, I know you use generations of ripples and every single raindrop to fill up your oceans. Thank you.
So again, thank you for listening on this episode today and sticking out that talk to the end. We hope you enjoyed it and we hope that you've learned a little bit more about what we're doing here at Never the Same. I want to remind you again of our website. It's neverthesame.org. And as always, we post this on social media. So check us out on Facebook where you can find interaction and more information about what we're doing. And you can not only connect with us, but you can see videos and pictures and some other interactions where you can understand more what we're doing with students across the country. So thank you again for listening. We're looking forward to our next episode here on The Thought Factory.